NADBF.
Good morning, KEA8RUH.
Morning. Finally got a 3D print that fit that stupid digi rig on like the sixth try.
That's cool, at least you got it. Now you can reprint them whenever you need.
1 second, ADBF. Alright, garbage day. I had to get the last can out.
It's fun. At least you got it out and didn't forget, and now you have a full bin all week.
I've done it. I forgot both of them, and we had two full garbage cans for an entire week, and it was not fun. Thankfully, it wasn't hot out yet.
Yeah, that's when it gets real difficult, right? You got stinky trash sitting around.
Nothing worse than fermented poop diapers.
Oh, dude, I totally didn't even think about that. Yeah, you guys still got diapers going. Holy moly.
One more to go, man. Cannot wait.
How old is the youngest?
2.
Dang. I remember the one time I was at your house in Armada, your wife was still on maternity leave, so must have just been born.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was, like, literally, God, I feel like we came home that week.
Seems like yesterday, and it seems like forever ago at the same time.
It's weird how time does that, isn't it? I totally forgot about it until you said that, and I'm like, holy crap, that house was 2 years ago, so how long ago was that?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that you guys must have just brought that baby home. You think it was in the first week. I mean, it was darn close.
You know, I love my new house and all that, but I truly miss that basement at the old one. As janky as it was, I had the setup for all the crap I wanted and needed, and now I don't.
It just takes time. You'll get it back there, I'm sure.
Sooner or later. Got to finish the basement, which I don't know when we're going to do that. Maybe this winter.
Yeah, you're in a unique situation in that you were starting from scratch. Nobody else had any infrastructure, so you literally had to do it all. So it'll take a while, but that's all right. You get it exactly the way you want it instead of modding somebody else's design.
Yes, sir. Slowly but surely. Have you messed with your VX3 and Winlink at all?
No, I have not. I have the cable for the VX6. But I should, once I get Winlink Express going, I should try that VX3. That would be pretty cool. Have a small little package and be able to just do Winlink on 3 watts.
I mean, I might be able to do it from, I could probably do it from work. But I'm going to say, as far as from home, I'm SOL on VHF.
Even from work, it might be tough. I have never had any luck getting into that Mount Clemens repeater there for Winlink. I always hit Detroit, like, no matter where I am. Whenever I've been successful, it's always been with the Detroit repeater down there.
I guess I won't know until I try, but not overly optimistic, but if I can figure out how to do that with, what is it? Is it Radio Mail for iOS? Is that what it's called, where I can plug it into my iPhone or my iPad?
Yep, they make it really easy. So, yeah, radio mail works really well. I have it set up for my UV Pro, and the way that it interacts with that is, like, silly. It's so easy to get it done.
That mail app is what, like $7 or something?
Yep. I think it's a pretty well put together app. It's worth the $7.
Alright, I'll have to start messing with that. Defeats the purpose in its entirety, right? But hey, here we are sending emails in the state of a disaster.
Well, what we'll need to do is, if you get that and get it dialed in, figure out some peer-to-peer one day when we're, like, in the same area. And I think that's where it starts to get really beneficial, is peer-to-peer in a smaller space. Because I agree with you. Like, using your phone, sending email, things like that, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense until you get into the HF.
And even then, that's so unreliable. Like, I test it every day, no joke. Like, I turn on my 705, I've got a really good antenna for it, and I, you know, I always joke, I'm like, I'm checking my mail, and I'll just send test messages out, stuff like that, but, like, yesterday, I gave up. I couldn't even get it to connect to anything.
Yeah, I mean, there's nonstop hurdles. I don't know, I guess it's a good way to pass information, but it definitely has its pitfalls.
Still fun, nonetheless. I hung out with KATMR this weekend. He had his Ring Expert Stick 500 and sold me on that. Mine should be here tomorrow. We made a 40-meter dipole and got the wind link frequency resonant at like 1.15 SWR. So, building out portable antennas for those shenanigans. I'm scarred after the last set when I couldn't do anything.
Which one did you order? I think I have the yellow one. I don't remember which model it was.
Yeah, that one. It looks like a banana.
Yep, when I bought it from DX, I called down there and was like, explained what I was going to use it for, and the guy was like, this is the one you want. I was like, okay. Kind of blindly followed, but the few times that I've used it, it seems to work awesome.
Yeah, I would argue it's an absolute necessity for tuning antennas. Nano VNA works, but what a pain, and I don't think it's as accurate. So that's one I got. I did a bunch of research. So the blue one, we'll get you up to VHF, but I was like, well, I predominantly on UHF, so I got to have that. So I needed the 500 megahertz. And I was looking at the Pro, because they're all within like $30 of each other on sale. And the Pro, I didn't like the screen on. It was like an inverted, well, not monochrome, but it was a black background with like colored text. And I'm like, well, I don't want that, because I'm going to use it outside. It's going to be impossible to see like the nano VNA. And then they had one above that. It was the same thing. It was like the X-Stick Pro or some crap. And that one was a white background. Like, that's definitely not going to work. So I weighed the options. I'm like, I really don't need, like, cable velocity and all that crap or fault locators or anything. Like, I'm doing HF antennas and outside web cutting wire. So, yeah, that's the one I landed on. And we played with Phil's this weekend. It's sweet, man. I mean, very convenient to just hook it up, cut your wire, check it, and not really have to dink around with, you gotta calibrate the VNA, you gotta recall your stimmy, like, I hate those things.
What'd you get? Morning, Sean. Yeah, I agree. I never really dialed in those nano VNAs and struggled with them every time I got it out and finally just bought one of those. Go ahead, Sean. Go ahead, Sean, and then Dakota.
Good morning. I'm thinking we're talking about the Rig Expert. Yeah, I
I had a series of nano DNA type devices in here, and although they weren't difficult to use, they were just, you know, just a hassle. The Rig Expert is really easy, comparatively speaking. And then the phone app makes it really nice. Is that what you ended up getting? Which one did you end up getting? I think you were focusing on the Pro, same one I got. Dakota?
Those are my thoughts exactly with the Nano VNA. They're not hard to use, but they're just annoying. You got to calibrate them and recall, and it's just too many things to set when I just want to get the SWR for an antenna. So I bought the Rig Expert Banana Edition. I was looking at the Pro, but I was just telling Anthony, I was worried about the screen. I used the E-Ink this past weekend with KTMR, and I was like, dude, this is money. Like, you just hold it up and it works. And I'm a big fan of E-Ink. I've got a Remarkable. I've got E-Ink dope sheets and all that stuff just because readability. But from my understanding, the Pro does the same features up to 600 megahertz, but it has more advanced capabilities than the 500. You'll have to elaborate on that because I went through all of them. I ordered both versions of the Pro and then canceled both versions of the Pro, and then I decided on the 500. Anthony?
Yeah, the E-Ink on there is nice, and it just seems to work well. I always found myself with the Nano VNA, like, trying to remember the process because I didn't use it very often. I'm sure if you use it often, you really dial it in, but it was always like, okay, or I was watching a YouTube video to figure out how to use it again, where this thing, the Rig Expert, is like plug and play. You press a couple buttons and you're good to go. Now, I don't know. I didn't realize there was a phone app. I should look at that. I don't know if the one that the 500 is has that app or not. That'd be interesting to see. Over to you, Sean.
I think it does. You won't. Honestly, the regular one. What do we got here? There's a goose. Are there babies? No, just a lone goose. Huh. I was worried there were babies at this time of year shooting across. But think any of them would serve you. It's just a matter of frequency. And, the original one covers up to through 2 meter. And then if you want to add UHF to that 440, you know, you get the 500. And I don't think any of the three would be a bad choice. You know, the UHF use is cool, and I'm glad I got it, but I don't even think that's really necessary. Because, like you said, we're using these, like, 90% of the time, we're using these things for HF antennas. I can't even, I mean, I might have used it a few times for UHF, VHF, and UHF, but mostly it's an HF tool. But, yeah, nice and plug and play, that's cool. You know the one that I think is good? I don't know who makes it, but it's like the CA400. It's that big square one. It's got the meter and the display. That one looks really cool to me. I'd like to play with one of those. But any of these actual antenna analyzers are usually, you know, like we're saying, plug and play-ish. So now, if you want to do like time domain reflectometry, you know, look for where's the fault in my line. Hold on a second. And then, of course, you have to calibrate your cable velocity factor and all that stuff to accurately find out where your fault is. And you're not going to get away from that no matter what, you know, no matter how easy the device is to use. You got to factor in the velocity factor of the cable in order to do fault tracking. But we're not really talking about devices that do that too much at this level. Dakota?
Yeah, so when I was looking at it, I'm like, you were my use case in mind of the Pro. I'm like, dude, I don't have any long runs of coax or anything that I need to locate a fault or anything on. Like, everything I have is exposed for the most part, except for the cable at my house that, in theory, should never go bad because it's in my attic. So I was like, you know what, the 500's perfect. I wanted UHF just because, like, installing in a truck, for example, like, I still haven't swept my truck. The new truck. So So I'm doing the Nano VNA, and I think it's good, but I don't trust the Nano VNA. That's why I ended up just returning those little single band UHF antennas, because they were just, they were all over the place. Like, I couldn't get a reading. Each one read different. It's, depending on how far I screwed it on, I'm like, screw this, 2x4 on. So that's my use case for UHF. Other than that, probably never going to use it. But yeah, I was telling Anthony, we're cutting dipoles with just the binding post, the BNC binding post, my little carbon 6 mast, and some 26-gauge silicone wire this weekend, and we were able to dial that thing in on the wind leak frequency, like 115. And I was like, Jesus, like, how easy is that?
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, to be making antennas that quickly it's worth every cent. I am pulling up at the office here, gentlemen. I will catch up with you maybe this afternoon. This is KE8RUH. Have a good day. I'll listen out.
All right, Anthony. Catch you later. I didn't know you were a rig expert, Dan. You know, they're not cheap. I think it's worth it. And they're so portable. Battery lasts so long on them, you can just throw it in your kit and not worry about it. That's kind of nice, too.
My other gripe with the Nano VNA, I had the box it came in, and then I had the little stylus for it, and then underneath of it, you know how it's got the card packaging, and there's like a cubby underneath. I had all these different adapters and cables. I'm like, this is so dumb. I don't need any of this. So now I've got that coming. It'll have SO239, and then I've got a BNC adapter, which are the only two things I use.
I think that might be a difference. Mine has an N connector, and then, you know, I keep a SO239 adapter in my kit, so I think that's a difference.
That's correct, and I think that was, you know, like the 500, I think, is really geared towards hams, just like the 230 was. It's, I don't know why else they would use an SO239, right? So I'm sure I can get an N to be a female BNC, but I'm like, but I'm just going to get this one. I know it's going to work. And all the things that it was telling me, like cable velocity, you know, I forgot all the other stuff. I don't even know the verbiage, but I don't even know what it means. So that means I don't know how to use it, and I'm probably never going to. But they were all within, like this one, I'm kicking myself because I had an open box that I hemmed and hawed on for like a week for like 282. And when I went to go finally buy it, it was gone. But it was on sale for like 330, and then I think the Pro was like 367. So they weren't super far apart. I just ultimately went with this one because the E-Ink and the SO239.
No, I really vacillated between the two myself. And I don't think there's a wrong choice there. You know, they'll both cover it. You know the one I'm talking about, though, when I say this? It's like the CA400 or something like that. It's square, and it has, I don't think it was AEA. God, are they still even in business? Maybe it was. No, Comet. It was a Comet. Yes. Comet, like CA400. Have you seen that one? Now, it's big. You know, so it, you lose that, you know, real, you know, totability, but that one looks pretty intriguing to me.
I think they still sell them. I was watching Cade MRD the other day, what is it, Ham Radio Tube on YouTube, and he was doing like an antenna analyzer comparison, and he had his rig expert, he had a Nano VNA, he had some MFJ crap that doesn't work, and then he had that Comet. It's big, like, bigger than your palm, and I think if it's the one I saw the other day, they're like $400-something.
Yeah, that's the one, I think, but I wonder, well, how did the, in the video, how did he rate them? I'm just curious.
Well, the rig expert was the preferred, and whether or not he's a shill, I don't know, but I think it's kind of, you know, for a ham's use case, I feel like the rig expert's the no-brainer. And then the Comet was up there. So he said it worked good. It was just big, old, big and clunky.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Yeah, if I found a really, really good deal on one, I might get it just to try, but yeah, I got no complaints with the Rig Expert. I like the form factor and everything else, so enough fanboying on that. So it's they're not cheap, you know. I mean, there's that. So it is a Ukrainian company, I thought I read, and so that, you know, that if well, first of all, if that's the case, do you remember?
It isn't indeed a Ukrainian company, and that's the other thing. It's like, I'd rather buy it from a European country than a Chinese manufactured product. So, but yeah, they're a Ukrainian company. I don't know any history on them other than the fact that they come from Ukraine.
There's a lot of smart mofos out of there, a lot of really good electronics. Stuff that does come out of there is really nice. There was that transfer guy, but you know, the war, that's the reason I brought it up, is, you know, I'm surprised that the war hasn't affected that company at all. I wonder if they've relocated for the, you know, during the war or something, but that's got to be, it's got to be having at least some impact on them, right?
I was thinking about that when I was looking at the Rig Expert. I'm like, how are they still, like, in stock and not back-ordered? Because, like, you know me, I'm an FPV guy. I love building drones. I want to build another one, and because of that war, good luck finding components, and if you do find them, they're like 30 to 40% markup.
Yeah, that's a drone war. It's amazing. I've seen some of the video and some of the stuff on just the level the drone technology is getting to. So crazy stuff, but yeah, they're still, you know, they're still kicking along. So despite the war, I mean, they must be in the far western parts of the country, which are insulated somewhat from the, you know, from the war. I know there's you know, indiscriminate attacks on cities and stuff, you know, in the west, big cities, but you know, as long as they're not right, you know, in Kiev or somewhere like that, they're probably okay.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Now you've got me curious. I'm going to check when I get mine tomorrow. Maybe they're not manufactured in Ukraine.
Yeah, that's a possibility too. I know, you know, I know, look at how many things American companies make that are actually manufactured overseas. So it's an American company, but they have this stuff all manufactured in China or wherever. Oh, what do we got going here? All sorts of red, blue, and all sorts of flashy lights over here by Freedom Hill.
KF8FSO, can I interrupt with a quick question?
There's a double there. I did Dakota, I didn't quite catch. Something about Thursday, I'm not sure. And then there was a FSO keyed up with a question. Go ahead, sir, and then pass it to Dakota.
Thank you, and sorry for the interruption. I was thinking about doing an all-star node because where I live, you know, there's no local repeater. My question is, if I do a node, can I hit the node with my radio and then bounce through repeaters to get, you know, just to get around to talk? And what is the range of an all-star node for picking up the radio?
Well, let me just put it like this. An all-star node is nothing more than another repeater. Just like the repeaters you want to talk to, it's like having your own personal repeater. Now, you know, you can get into the weeds with, you know, well, simplex versus full duplex and all that, but For the purposes of coverage, think of it as your own personal repeater. So having said that, what is the range? The range is how high can you put it up in the air and how much power can you put out. It's all going to be based on that. So if you just have the little rubber duck that came with it, you're probably going to, you know, do your property, maybe a few blocks around your house. You know, if you're in your mobile with a good antenna, you might get a half mile from the house. You put it on your outside antenna, still we're talking node power, you might get a good mile or two. You know, if you actually make a node out of radios, then and put those on an outside antenna, you might get tens of miles. So it's all a function. Think of it as just you're putting up your own personal repeater, and it's all about antenna and antenna height.
Okay, that answers my question, because I'm in St. Joe County and there's no repeaters here. The closest repeater to me, there's one in Centerville, but it's 15 miles as the crow flies. So I was just looking for some way to... I'm using Echolink all the time, and I'd rather be on the radio itself, but I mean, it's such a dead area, so... I was just looking for different options until I get a home set up, but I just run off my mobile radio for now. But all right, I appreciate it. I knew you guys would have the answer, so KF8 FSO 73 passed to Dakota.
Good morning. Yeah, I ended up doing something similar because I was not in the same situation you are. I was just a little out of range of all the repeaters, so I put a high-profile node at my house, and I get, 10 miles some direction, 15 to 20 others. Not 20, actually, yeah, probably 15. So, but that's on a 40-foot antenna. So like Sean said, it's all relative to power and antenna height. But Sean, what I had asked was, are you attending the meeting next Thursday?
Dan, is there something particularly good about it?
No, I think so. I mean, Anthony and I are going for orientation, so if that counts for anything. But I think we're going to, I'm definitely not going home after work. So I think I'm going to go grab maybe dinner and a couple drinks locally before the meeting, because I got my orientation at like 6, I think. And then I'll hang out for the meeting.
Oh, that sounds cool. So not day after tomorrow. We're talking the following week, right? Yeah, I'll put that on my calendar.
Yeah, I think it's what, the 21st maybe. Whoop, just switched over to the Clem. I think we got a little bit of a band opening because here and there's another repeater on this frequency, and when the band is, conditions are right, I can hear the guys up here in the Clum just breaking through a little bit. Anywho, is that the 27th? That sounds right to me. Today is the 12th, so this, I don't know about that. Let's see. Yeah, that sounds right. I just double-checked. It is the 21st.
That sounds more right.
Yeah, so I gotta just check a bunch of stuff off. So I sent videos in for programming a radio, but I guess I gotta be in front of somebody. And then I sent a video of me terminating power poles, and I gotta bring that in, I guess, even though it's hooked up to a battery, so I gotta figure out how I'm gonna do all this. And then now I gotta do a PL259 termination with some crappy Amazon connectors and Amazon RG8. But, I gotta go knock all that out.
Someone's working on their
book. Crappy Amazon connectors. We ordered a bunch of butt splices through one of our suppliers. And everything has to pass through my desk. You know, everything we order, everything we do, it's a requisition. And I looked at this order and I says, okay, what's this for? I said, oh, butt splices. You know, we got to order those, as you can imagine, quite often and a lot. You know, just standard reds and blues and all that. And I look at the price, and blue butt splices are like $1 a piece at this vendor. And it's one of the vendors that we use all the time, ADI. You're probably familiar with them for closed-circuit TV products and security products. I'm like, wait a minute, stop. So I go, I said, what is going on? Are these sudden special? $1 a piece for blue butt splices? And, you know, it was just like holy cow. That one kind of just stuck through. Somebody that ordered them didn't see the prices. Just assumed, you know, just blue bus places, right? And so we ordered some. We got them off Amazon. And, you know, we got like 10 to 1. You know, they're like a tenth of the price. So like 10 cents a piece, which seems more reasonable. But I got to remembering when you bought some connectors from Amazon and some cheap ones and how you were so dissatisfied. I wonder if these bus places are going to somehow be real cheesy. But, I mean, how cheesy can they be, right? I think there was a double in there. But, you know, there's diamonds in the rough on Amazon. Sometimes you find something that's like, damn, these are amazing. Like, there's some heat shrink that I buy, super, super good. And then I just bought, I don't know why, but I bought 3-inch heat shrink because I was making my own common mode chokes. So I wrapped a bunch of, I wrapped a 5-foot piece RG316 around like a 240 toroid. And I was going to heat shrink it. I'm like, sweet, I'll have my own. It was two of them. Two toroids and two patch cables for like $20. I'm like, I'll have two chokes for $20. And the heat shrink sucks so bad. It's so thick. It's so big. So it heat shrunk around the toroid, but it didn't heat shrink like enough around the cable. So it's just like, it's fine for what I'm using it for. It just looks dumb. But yeah, you know, Amazon's hit or miss. Breaking station, go ahead.
K-E-8, oh yeah, I was just commenting, sounds like someone's working on their task book, but I actually stepped on Sean. Go ahead, Sean.
Oh, that's okay. We'll probably be keying too quickly. Apologize for that. And what is that? Oh, that's a CB antenna. I was going to say, we got a bunch of construction workers here by my shop, and one of them had a goofy-looking antenna. It was a CB antenna with the coil mounted a few feet up from the base. Just made it look kind of funky. Anyhow, I'm pulling into my parking spot here. I'll let you guys carry on, and I will jump back in here when I get inside on the Cisco if it's working today. All right, I'll talk to you in a bit, or maybe this afternoon. I keep forgetting I got that phone at home. I got to plug it in and set it up. K8LAX, anything else? Go ahead.
Yeah, I went through the whole video thing for the radio programming. I just for the radio programming, I said screw it, and I just brought a Baofeng in, just a little UV5R, easy to program on the go, and that satisfied them.
Yeah, I run around with Motorola's, so I can't front panel program them anyway, but I do have an FT60 and a VX6 that I can program blindfolded, so I was just going to bring that in and check that box, and then I have to verbally communicate the difference between encode and decode. But, yeah, I just don't like to-do lists. I like when things are to-done, so hopefully that'll satisfy level one, and then I've got I think everything else for level two except for the participation stuff. I got to get all that stuff situated.
You got all your FEMA stuff in there?
Yeah, I got the FEMA certs, and then I got MCOM basic and MCOM intermediate. And I guess MCOM advanced is like suspended or discontinued until further notice or something, or they're renaming it. I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I heard about it, but I don't have anything in AuxCom or MCOM, so that I'm not positive on. I kind of got out of the hobby, you know, up until about, well, I shouldn't say got out, but I was very sparse in it up until about a little over a year ago when Tim went and sent me a postcard, and now I've been running around with these guys for, you know, the last year. So, hey, it got me back in the hobby, so I'm not complaining.
That ain't DBF. Yep, I did the same. I had another kid, and I was pretty hot and heavy in the POTA and portable ops and all that crap. And just kind of ran out of time and sold off a bunch of gear and took about a year off. Very, very sparse, which, you know, I very rarely played radio. And then, I don't know what happened. I kind of got a bug. I'm like, you know, I miss it. I want to start playing again. So, back in it full force and doing the RPSC thing and put a repeater up at my house and whatever else I can do. So, I made time for it. So, the RPSC stuff's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to getting further involved and doing some more of that stuff. And a lot of the stuff I already do kind of translates directly into that. So, like, might as well apply it. And the AuxCon is really what piqued my interest, so I'm looking forward to that.
K-E-8-L-E-X. Yeah, they're talking about moving stuff towards the line of AuxCon, so that'll be interesting. I think my bigger achievement since getting back into it is actually been working with Sean, like when we put the microwave dish back up and stuff like that, John and I. I think that's been some of the funnest stuff I've done since being a part of the ARPSC. So I definitely enjoy the work side of it.
Oh, are you the climber?
I am not the climber, but I have no problem climbing. I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but when we put the microwave dish back up for Warren, I was the one on the ladder. If you've seen the photos,
that I did. All right, right on. Well, appreciate the work. It's a repeater I use frequently.
No thanks needed. It was a pleasure and an experience. I've never done anything with microwave dishes and getting on the phone and remotely dialing it in. And I think we were all really impressed because I kind of aimed it by eyeball. And surprisingly enough, right off the rip before we started adjusting, we had a link. So that was fun. It was definitely an experience, and I would definitely be I definitely enjoy doing it again. Hopefully not on that circumstance though. You know, maybe for an upgrade or something like that rather than repairing damage. KE8LAX. Back over to you, Dakota.
Yeah, I think it would be much more fun doing an upgrade or a new site rather than getting a repeater back online. But I've done some of that stuff. I don't know if it's microwave. I've done a lot of air fiber point-to-point stuff. You know, visual line of sight, so it's pretty easy to aim them or at least get them close to start. But guessing when you can't see the other end stuff. But I am out of the office here. I just backed in my spot. So I'm going to clear out. It was good talking to you, and I'm sure I'll catch you around here soon. I'll listen out. NADDF.
Sounds good. 7-3. Have a good day at work. I work midnight, so I am actually going to go to bed. You have a good day, and we'll catch you on the air soon. KE8LAX, I'll be clear.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
KPR.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
WDAKLO on the mobile. WDAKLO on the mobile.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
W8FU. What are you doing out at this time? K8RUH.
I am just returning from lunch.
Same as me. I'm on my way back to the office now.
There you go. Yeah, I met with Walter. We had sandwiches at Aspen. Pretty good. Had some sort of a shredded beef with onion and horseradish sauce and shredded beef and pickles, and it was good.
Very cool. I went to a place called Sweet Greens. It's like a little chain place over here, right on 16 Mile Road. It's pretty good. Chicken Caesar wrap.
They have a place at 16 and was it Rochester, in the out front of the REI. It was a salad joint, and that's gone. And there used to be one up here on Hall Road, and I used to go there a lot. But man, those salad joints are disappearing.
This place that I just went into is in that same building. So it's located at the exact same spot. So yeah, you should check it out.
I think that with that name, they're a salad place. I mean, obviously they do wraps as well, but I take it salads are kind of their thing.
Yep. Seems that way. This is the first time I've been in there. I enjoyed it.
Roger. Oh, look at that. They took my parking spot. Those dirty dogs. So, I could take somebody else's, but I won't. Oh, man, who is that parking my spot? Is that? Oh, that's our... Okay, I know who that is.
she can park there.
All right, it sounds like you are in your, pulling into your lot. I just pulled into my lot. I will maybe catch up with you in 2 hours here on the way home. KE8RUH.
Sounds good. We'll look for you then. W8FU.
KF8DRC from NHWJ. You on, Jack?
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Kilo Foxtrot, Golf Foxtrot, Kilo Monster.
Bar, better than the old dog chow, yeah?
What's going on, Sean? KERUH.
Oh, just on my way home. We were over on 25 talking a little bit. I'm just making the trek home. I assume you're doing the same.
I am doing the same. Yeah, I was listening to you guys. I couldn't get in. I tried getting in once and was not able to. So, I am probably about a mile from home. So, good stuff. I'm ready to be home, that's for sure.
I'm 114 miles.
Well, good golly. Hello, Tom. Well, since we're counting, I'm a little over five.
We're almost there. Tom will get there eventually, too.
Eventually I'll get there. I'm on Danville, and I'm 113 miles from home, coming from
Well, there you go. 114. So you got a couple hours to get home, I guess. Is it straight home? You done for the day?
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, straight home. 1 hour, 38 minutes arrival time. We're done over here. Tomorrow is just local. Kind of. Got to be in Southfield most of the day.
Pretty rough getting in there, Tom. I didn't get too much of it at the end for sure.
Sounds like I'm in between our repeaters.
Whatever you were on that last time was the best you've sounded.
I'm probably good for one more. I'm almost home. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm right here about, where am I at? 69 eastbound. I don't know, over by the college, I guess.
All right, well, you're sounding okay now, that's for sure. So... What's the plan for tonight before you get home there, Anthony? Anything or just lounging?
A little bit of yard work, some lounging, and then I gotta get my... I either have to take my daughter to dance or pick her up. I can't remember. But I will find that out when I get home. And other than that, not a whole lot. Hopefully some serious lounging.
Alrighty, well, I hope you get to lounge. Oh, you know, that reminds me. I was thinking, I wonder if there's a good game on tonight. Last night, how'd the Pistons do?
Pistons lost last night, but I guess they're home tomorrow, so hopefully they win tomorrow and at home. They won the first two games at home, so we'll see. I'm pulling in the driveway. This is KERUH. I will listen out, and I'll catch up with you gentlemen tomorrow.
Later.
See you, Anthony. 73. Talk to you guys this morning there. I'm on the 69-96 split right now.
So you take the high route home, obviously, right? You're going to take 69. Yeah, there'd be no other logical way.
Yeah, I take the high road and then, go right down 69 up towards Port Huron. I mean, because I'm only 7 miles south of the freeway. Taking the low road, then I got to go all the way around it because of all that construction. It takes me forever. Plus, it's stupid to go that way.
Yeah, you know, as I was saying it, I said, that's a stupid question. You're obviously going to take the 69 all the way. So, all right, well, it's a lot better than when I got to come home. I sometimes take 69 to 75 just to avoid the mess. But, I would take 96 all the way to 696 if everything were moving good. And even when it's moving good, everything's open, sometimes that's a mess. That whole, 96, 696, 275 mixing bowl is just a nightmare. So I've taken 69 and 75 and 75 south on a few occasions coming back, and I've not regretted it. It moves pretty nice.
Now, if I was heading down to your neck of the woods, then yeah, I would take 69 to 96, 696, the telegraph 12 mile, and take 12 mile down, and then hook up that way to 75 north, or 12 mile all the way down. I've done that before. That's just a longer drive. I mean, if my office was in that direction again.
Well, yeah, it is a mess. I don't know about 12-mile road, telegraph to 12. It's that can be its own mess. But I don't know. I've dropped down to, I've taken the lodge down to Davison across and come up. I've done that a few times. I've taken 8-mile a few times. But you got to do something because you can't take 696. All right, I am about spitting distance from the house. I got to just come up right here around the corner, and I'll be parked. So maybe I'll make one more after this. We'll see.
Well, I'm glad you're home. Oh, Melissa's home all night. Relax. Yesterday's adventure.
All righty. Well, travel safe, and we'll catch you in a little bit. Be back on the radio at some point. W8FU.
connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
CMN-FGS. I'm in between towers, I think.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
This is Q Fox Charlie Echo Tango. So, back anyone out there?
Connected to CMN Network.
KF8ETQ, this is KE8LAX. You called out and my wife said, hi, Darren. how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you? It sounds like you must have a few days off recently or something, because you're actually here at a reasonable time.
Yeah, so this week I had yesterday and today off, and then I work 2 days, and then I have all weekend off. I'm usually around, but working nights makes it tricky, and then trying to do family regular everyday afternoon stuff with the family gets a little on the tricky side. Back over to you, KE at LAX.
There's the Armed Forces Crossband Test something going on this weekend, where amateur radio people get to go out and contact some military stations. Are you, by any chance, going to try to participate in that?
Is that HF, just out of curiosity?
Yes, that is over HF. They're across, I think, the 20-meter band, 50-meter band, and probably quite a few others. I'm not sure. So,
you must have fell into a valley there, because I started to lose you. But unfortunately, I probably will not be participating, because as of right now, I do not have any HF capabilities.
Okay. I, for some reason, had a thought that you actually had some HF capabilities that you'd have to that you could bring to a park or something like that.
No, so I've got a lot of a lot of stuff, a lot of throw-up antennas and stuff for UHF, VHF. My idea is if something were to happen and we didn't have an ability to have a EOC or something like that, a building to go to, my idea is I have enough stuff that we could set up a mobile operations center. When I go to parks and I bring a trailer and stuff like that, that's what I do. As of right now, I don't have any HF equipment.
I thought you had a CB radio thing, too. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. I do have a... I do have a radio that is 10 meters that was modified to work on the 11-meter side. So I do have one, but I do not have a frequency counter for it, so I do not know what I'm on. So until I can find a frequency counter for it, I do not use it. But I do have that and an antenna for it.
I've not heard much about frequency counters. The only times I think I've heard about it is when they're talking about older radios, which is roughly what I think you have from what you're describing. That seems like something interesting. I've not heard if there's any modern ones or anything like that, or if you're going to have to scrap together old stuff from the same era of the radio itself.
Yeah, it is an older radio. I used to use it back before I got my amateur license. I used to be really big into CB, and I got that radio. Someone was getting rid of it fairly cheap, but it works really well. But there's a connector on the back of the radio for a frequency counter, and I did not have that, but because I only used it on the 11-meter band, I didn't really care. Now I kind of care, being an amateur radio operator, but I'll figure it out eventually.
Could you use something like a little spectrum analyzer and plug that in there and to see what it's tuned for?
So possibly. I haven't really gotten much into it, but yeah, I possibly could. I'll look more into it. I've got tonight off, and after this award ceremony, which I'm almost to my destination, after my award ceremony, I'll actually pull that radio out and see if there's something I can do with it. Because if there's anything on that I can use for what you're talking about, I'll definitely try. KEHLAX, back over to you, Darren.
I have a vehicle tailing me a little bit to the right, and I'm not sure what's going on. It looks like he could be a cop, or he could just have really weird tinted windows or something. Never mind, not a cop. Just got a little startled because there was a or whatever that was right behind me, looking like one of those cop cars.
Are you using an HT or are you on a mobile unit?
I am on an HT right now. It's a 5-watt HT.
Yeah, I seen you posting on Discord that you end up getting a distracted driving ticket. That really sucks. Do you plan on fighting it, or did you already pay it?
I'm planning on fighting it. I have a court date of June 2nd or something like that, and it's in the 37th District Court. I believe it is in the Warren one because that's where I got the ticket and that's where it makes sense for it to be.
Yeah, I would definitely look it up and just make sure that way you don't show up to the wrong court on time and then end up in trouble. But anyway, I'm literally just pulling up to my destination right now. I will, I'll say 7-3s, but it was good talking with you. And I'll, when I get home and I pull that radio out, I will see what I can do with it, and I'll send you a message a little bit later. This is KE8LAX, back over to KF8ECQ. I'll be clear on your final.
7-3, I'll talk to you later, Dean. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Echo Tango, Quebec.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
KF8FQN, KF8FQN, NAPZR.
KF8GVP.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
N8ROD Mobile.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
WABD.